ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 12, text number 20. That's the last verse in the chapter. And the verse after the one I spoke about is relief. So, and that's the one after I spoke about the last time, which is our relief. It's just a sequence. And this is a nice summary of the entire chapter, the last verse of the whole chapter. So, I'll try to summarize it. You get the whole chapter 12 in one verse. In a nutshell.
Yesutamasatam idam yathoktam parupasate dadadama matparama bhaktasi tivame kriyaha.
Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making these a supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. There's been several other verses where he said, very dear. But now he said it twice, very, very dear. What he is so special about these particular devotees. So, of course, question is all about. In this chapter, verse 2, through to the end, from Mayi Avisha Mano Ne Mam, or fixing the mind upon me, through this one which begins Ye Tu Dharmam Bhatam Idam, which is translated this religion of eternal engagement, Dharma Amrita. The religion of eternal engagement. Very nice. No vacation from devotional service. The Supreme Lord has explained the process of transcendental service for approaching Him. The processes are very dear to the Lord, and He accepts a person engaged in them. Well, I think it's going to make a meaning thinking about part of the first one so far. Being accepted by Krishna, you know what that means? That you couldn't ask for something more than that. Did any of you take part in the, I guess it was called the Japa Retreat? Did they call it a Japa Retreat? It was held in Burmese. How many of you took part in it? Okay. Did you, was one of the exercises that you took part in some practice explained by Bhakti Yoga Thakura chanting where one takes the Krishna, please accept me. Did you do that one? Can't remember. Yes, Mara. Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's in relation to that exercise. It's in relation to a teaching that Bhakti Yoga Thakura gives about going more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. And one of the things to assist in going more deeply, there are three things. One of them is meditate on the meaning of the mantra while you chant it, so you know the meaning of the mantra. If somebody asks you, you're out in Hainan Sankirtan, if somebody comes up and says, what's the meaning of that mantra? When you tell them, the Prabhupada said, there's a discovery. It's a call to the Supreme Lord. All energy of the Supreme Lord, Hara, in the vocative becomes Hare, just like Radha's name is Radha, and when you call her, it's Radhe. It's like when you go to Vrindavan, Radhe. We say, here in Guyana and in Trinidad, we're known as Hari Bol. I didn't know that until I came here. But, I think I told you this last time, I think. Didn't happen this time, but when I was boarding the plane or going through security in JFK, not this time, but last time I came here, the person at the security checkpoint was from somewhere from West Indies. And he looked at me and he said, Hari Bol. He said, you're one of them, right? You're one of the Hari Bols, right? I said, I didn't think of it as one of the Hari Bols, but I guess so. And it's Hare Krishna. The Hari Bol. You all say Hari Bol. Okay, so the Hari Bol. So, in Vrindavan it's not Hari Bol, it's Radhe. Because Radha, and the vocative becomes Radhe. Hara, which is another name of Radha, or the internal potency of Krishna, and the vocative becomes Hare. I'll go a little deeper. Radha is given the name Radha because of how she worships Krishna. Aradhananam Sarvesham. There's that verse that says, Radha's name is never mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Did you know that? Radha's name isn't mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, not even once. But she's referred to innocently by the gopis. When Shukadeva Goswami was saying, that's very special, Aradhananam Sarvesham, amongst all the gopis, there's one who is the best of her, the best of all worshippers. That's Radha. And Aradhananam Sarvesham. She's the best worshipper. Radha. But another name is Hara. It's a little esoteric, but it's, nice. What is Hara? Or what is the name Hari? What is Hari mean? What's the meaning? Hari. One who takes away. One who takes away. But when Hari takes away, Prabhupada instructs, with thousands of hands, he takes away everything. But with thousands of hands, he gives back everything. Auspicious. He takes away inauspicious and he gives auspicious. So Radha's name, another name is Hara, because she steals the heart of Krishna. Hara. And she also steals away our other attractions except for Radha and Krishna. So, Hare, Krishna, O energy of Krishna, Hara, O Mother Hara, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in service to Krishna. That's the meaning. So if you're going to meditate on the meaning of the Maha Mantra, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in service to Krishna. We're asking Radharani, we're asking Krishna's internal potency for devotional service. So the fruit of chanting is a purer heart that simply wants shelter in Krishna's service. And nothing else. All other shelters taken away by Hara. Because Hari in the vocative is also Hare. Did you know that? So sometimes people don't know is Hare, referring to Krishna, Hari, in the Bhagavad Gita becomes Hare, or Hara, the internal energy. You know the answer, it's the internal energy. That's the approach. Krishna, through the internal energy. But she just wants to serve Hari, so she also takes away all inauspicious things from our heart and helps us to become decorated with nice qualities so that we can become pleasing to Krishna. And that's what this 12th chapter is about. The last part of the 12th chapter is what Krishna feels. It's very confidential. So you can declare it loudly and it's still confidential. It's a different kind of confidential than a secret. It's the kind of confidential that's very near to the soul because it's very near to Krishna. He's describing his feeling when devotees approach him with nice qualities. He discusses this belief. Where do nice qualities come from? Answer, well, Krishna. Everything nice comes from Krishna. The nice qualities come from Krishna. So Krishna becomes pleased when he sees a nice devotee, sincere devotee, approaching him with nice qualities that Krishna is decorating them with. He's very pleased. He's very happy. He considers them very dear even. But here, Krishna says, this particular person described in this verse is very, very dear to me. There's eternal engagement. There's no such thing as eternal engagement in the material world. Because everything is temporary. But there is such a thing as eternal engagement in the spiritual world. And it's what all souls, even the deluded souls, even the bad people of this world, they're serving. They're serving unfavorably. Prabhupada describes this in Vishvakarmashat. The Mahabhagavata Vaishnava sees all of the entities equally as Krishna does. He sees there's someone who's serving Krishna unfavorably. And someone's serving Krishna very favorably. But everyone is serving Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna because it's our constitutional position. The eternal engagement of living entities. That's the opening line in verse. Yesu dharma amritam idam. That person who is taking shelter on the platform of the soul and they're happily amrita. Amrita means nectar, but it also means immortality. But eternally engaging in service. You just go from one service to the next service to the next service to the next service. And it's not dependent upon condition, how hot out it is, how cold out it is, how nice people are treating me, how mean people are treating me, how this kind of duality or that kind of duality. It doesn't depend on anything external because it comes from the internal. Because there's no shelter in the constitutional for the serving Krishna. That's the position of real happiness. Such processes are very dear to the Lord and he accepts a person engaged in them. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, please engage me in your service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur expects it in an even more concise manner. Krishna, please accept me. Because accept me means I want to serve you. So the longer version is, my dear Lord Krishna, I turn my back on you. You know, but we have that expression, you know, persons are friends and, or married or something like that. And if one just turns their back and walks the other way. And he did that with Krishna. He turned our back to Krishna and he walked away. And we did some very bad things. You don't even want to talk about the bad stuff. You can't even remember what you think there was, you can't remember. And our attitude toward Krishna, well, you know, it smells bad, it stinks at times. Our attitude toward Krishna was negative. We had issues and attitudes toward Krishna. But Krishna didn't, like a loving father or a loving friend, he didn't turn his back on us for a second. In fact, we wanted to go away from Krishna, a land where there's no Krishna, the kingdom of God without God. So he hid ourselves, he hid himself inside our hearts to remind us of our real position, to help us understand, even as we're trying to enjoy independently from him, it's not a position of happiness. Krishna has been speaking that message from within our hearts since time immemorial. We're soulmates wander in the human species, in the bird species, in the worm and stool. Super soul was there, accompanying like a general friend. Who could do that with any friend? But that's Krishna. How loving, unconditionally loving. That's Krishna. And now, my dear Lord Krishna, I realize I've made a terrible mistake. For lifetimes and lifetimes, I see the same terrible mistake, moment after moment, misusing free will again and again and again, and this becomes so conditioned. But now, taking Prabhupada's words, I come to my senses. I simply want to be engaged in your service. Please accept me in your service. That's the longer version. The shorter version is, Krishna, please accept me. And when you practice it, try it in the japa tomorrow morning. Chant, not just the sounds, the syllables, but chant with that entering into the feeling. Not even just like, you know, two tracks. One side, one track is make the sound, the other side is Krishna being accepting, like something mechanical. Try to enter into the spirit of calling like a helpless child or a helpless entity. Krishna, please accept me. I walked away. I turned my back on you. And I've been suffering terribly. And I want to be again with you. Please accept me in your presence. Please accept me in your service once again. And it's very powerful. It's very easy. It's very easy to fix the mind. We're chanting in that mood. The mind just flows to the sound of Krishna's holy name, and to the person, to Krishna, our master, our Lord, our dear Lord friend, our beloved, our the source of real happiness and joy. And here, Prabhupada is writing in this first one, Krishna accepts a person so engaged by the processes of bhakti, devotional service that are described in this chapter. The question of who is better, going back to the beginning of the chapter, one who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman, or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was raised by Arjuna. That was verse 1. And the Lord replied to him, so explicitly that there is no doubt that devotional service to the Personality of Godhead is the best of all processes of spiritual realization. Maybe I'll read the first two verses though, and just like take the hammer, hit the head of the nail, boom! It's so emphatic. The question is so clear, the answer is so clear. And the rest is like, rip cream and icing. It's just adds to the message. Arjuna inquired, verse 1, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman? It's unmanifested. Very clear question. A or B? Which is better? Krishna's answer. Those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect. Very clear answer. Then he speaks about the other option, B, the impersonal future. Very troublesome. Practically impossible. Even to think for a moment what to speak of unbroken. Try to think of that which has no quality, that which has no form, that which has no name, that which has no substance. You get to think of something like that. How do you think of something like that? What do people fix in your mind with something like that? Without deviation. Very beautiful. Practically impossible. In other words, in this chapter it is decided that through good association one develops attachment for pure devotional service and thereby accepts the bona fide spirit of the Master, and from him begins to hear and chant and observe the regular principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This path is recommended in this chapter. Therefore, there is no doubt that devotional service is the only absolute path for self-realization, for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna declared that at the end of chapter 11. Krishna is declaring that, prompted Arjuna to ask this question. Krishna said, only by devotional service can I be understood as I am in my two-handed form? Because he just got finished showing the universal form. And the universal form was so overwhelming. Great warrior Arjuna, trembling, asked Krishna, please remove this form. Too much. So Krishna then showed his four-armed form. And then Krishna showed his two-armed form. And he said, nobody understands me as I am, except my devotee. Only my devotee can understand me as I am. Then Arjuna asked the question, which is better? And Krishna's answer, firm, fast. And the conclusion of the chapter, fast. It's not like, we have a prejudice here with words. We got our finger on the pan scale and it's all reading in our favor because, we have a vision. Krishna's words are very clear. They're unequivocal. They're strong, not equivocal. The impersonal conception of the absolute truth, as described in this chapter, is recommended only up to the time one surrenders himself for self-realization. In other words, as long as one does not have the chance to associate with a pure devotee, the impersonal conception may be beneficial. Why beneficial? Because it speaks about austerities and control of the senses and control of the mind, withdrawing oneself from grosser forms of entanglement in maya, of illusory energy. But such a person who is in a little bit better position than one who is in the soup, or the pool of maya, that person, if they get the association of devotees, like Sarva Bhuma Bhattacharya got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became a great devotee, and all the thousands and thousands of followers, students, so he was a great, the most learned teacher in all of India at the time. He get thousands of students. They all begin to work too, because he became a good devotee through association. Becoming a devotee is necessary. Fortunately, if one develops directly a desire to engage in Krishna consciousness and pure devotion service, it is not easy to undergo these step-by-step improvements in spiritual realization mentioned in this 12th chapter. There's this, you can't do this, do that, you can't do that, do that, you can't do that, do the other thing. And there's this like a ladder. But if you're standing at the bottom rung of the ladder, you don't need to step by each of the steps of the ladder. You're already at the top of the ladder. The purpose of the lower rung of the ladder is to get there. Conclusion of the purported devotional service, as described in the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, is more congenial. Direct engagement in devotional service is more congenial than the indirect step-by-step process. Congenial. What is congenial? Common usage of that is friendly. We say user-friendly. If something that's natural for us is congenial. The other process is mechanical and unnatural. And the process of devotional services, for as far as the soul is concerned, it's our healthy condition. It's a natural state. One need not bother with materials to keep the body and soul together, because by the grace of the Lord, everything is carried out automatically. You don't need something outside of Krishna for our well-being. You just need Krishna for our well-being. There's much listening to Prabhupada speak on this point. He was describing the position of renunciation. And he was using himself as an example. So when I was a householder, the British had created an artificial famine. Artificial famine because they bought up all the rice and withheld the rice. So because they withheld the rice, the price of rice became 10 times the normal amount. He gave specific examples. He said, you know, 1 kilo of rice would normally cost, absolutely, I can't remember the numbers, but during the famine it was 10 times, and a poor person didn't have 10 times. So they starved, literally, and many people died, thanks to the British artificial famine program. Why? They could jack up the price so people would pay more for rice. So, Prabhupada said at the householder, I went to the temple, the Bhaktisiddhanta's temple nearby, because I was concerned maybe the devotees are also in difficulty. So I went and asked them, are you okay? Is everything all right? And they said, oh, we have plenty. So many persons have given so much thanks for us. And Prabhupada said, I could then understand. Krishna maintains them. And why Krishna would he maintain them? He's heard this example so many times. An elephant eats how many kilos of grain a day? 10 kilos of grain. And an ant eats 1 grain of sugar. And who's maintaining him? The same Supreme Lord is maintaining everybody else. And the position, Prabhupada, when he was speaking in Sweden, and his argument was, you know, don't work like Buddha. He said, this may not, the government, if they heard me speaking this way, they may think this is revolution. In fact, this causes revolution. He said, the government wants you to work very hard. So they tax you very heavily. Just so you have to work very hard so you can maintain yourself. That's the government policy. They want people to work very hard. So this is what I'm saying. against government policy. But it's true. Krishna's the maintainer. And when one knows that Krishna is the maintainer, then the whole fruit of platform is not required. But one who has shelter in Krishna, we may work very hard in service of Krishna. But not for sense gratification or some comfortable situation, but in service of Krishna. We'll work very hard. It's all together a different principle. Not even a dovetail, it's just a different principle. Working hard for Krishna. Or striving to see that the motivation, the inspiration, what's in the heart of the devotee is, Krishna, please accept me in service. You give me a little service to do. I'm very happy to give that little service, whatever that little service is. I don't have to worry about you maintaining me. Then Prabhupada Ram, when it came to your country. In India, a sadhu can go to, the temples are for sadhus. They go to a temple and usually they get taken care of them. They get some prasad and a place to stay, but you're a sadhu. And in the, amongst people in general, when a sadhu goes to someone's home, they'll take care of them. But in your country, that's not so much the practice. But when I came, I didn't have any money. I didn't have any place to stay, but Krishna took care of me. You're just depending upon Krishna. So we can think, well, that's all by the night, and I'm leaving. I need my situation. But for one who is dependent, so this is the point, one who takes shelter in Krishna, that's all that one wants, is that shelter in Krishna, being accepted by Krishna. Prabhupada's point is, Krishna won't take care of such a person. Not like, you know, someone who's a member of a family, the children have to go to their father or mother and say, can you please feed me today? You don't have to do that. The mother and father are happy to do that. It's their joy. It's not a chore or a duty. It's their happiness. And it's Krishna's happiness to take care of his devotees. And the devotee's happiness is to be accepted by Krishna, to be engaged in his eternal service. Let me go back quickly. Won't take too much more time. But in the previous verse, in the previous set of verses, there are qualities that when Krishna sees them in his devotees, they're pleased. Remember the previous verse, the translation. One who is equal to friends and enemies. One who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy. Who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything. Who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service. Such a person is very dear to me. So, I'm going to remind you of what are the first instructions? Well, I'll ask you. What's one of the first instructions that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita when he speaks about being detached from duality? Besides the day he knows in the Akadeh day, that verse. There's another very early verse. Krishna is speaking about don't become situated in duality, but become situated in Sat. Second chapter. Huh? I can't hear. Okay, what's the verse? How about Mata Sparshas Tukantaya Sitoshna Supra Dukhita Agama Panyonitis comes to picture Sivarana. They're speaking about duality. Sukha and Dukkha, happiness and distress. Sitoshna, Sukha, Dukeshu, that's 12th chapter. So in the second chapter, Krishna is speaking about his advice to Arjuna is Tikshava. What does Tikshava mean? He's tolerant. You know, it's hot in the summer, and you go in the kitchen and cook because it's for the deities. It's cold in the winter, and here it's not too cold in the winter. some places it's cold in the winter, but you take that, even if it's cold in the winter, because you have to be clean to worship Krishna. So it doesn't matter hot or cold, winter or summer, happiness or distress. So that's a high bar to jump over, happiness or distress, because when I'm happy, I can do a lot. When I'm unhappy, I don't feel like doing a lot. Going and drunk and drunk and whining and feel like a gas. And not feeling like service. But one would tolerate those external things is the advice in chapter 2. And instead withdraws their consciousness in places that he sought. But here's the mature state. This is devotional service chapter. One whose shelter is Krishna. This feature of duality, that feature of duality. What is indifferent to it? It's not just tolerated. You've risen above it. You're transcendental to it. You can still see it or feel it. See it hot out. See it raining out. You should take my umbrella. But you go about your service. You know, it's winter time, not here. It's winter time. When I left New York, it was 3 degrees Fahrenheit by wind chill factor. What that means centigrade is something like -15 centigrade. But the devotees were going about doing their service. It was a Sunday before I came down here. And the temple was packed. I thought, my goodness, these are very dedicated people. And I saw Prophet David saying that he answers the phone at the front desk of the Brooklyn Temple. You know, his nose was dripping. His face was red. This one was the blasting of the wind. Then he came to the reserve and came to his phone at the front desk of the temple where he turned his head. He wasn't complaining. You know, he was happy to be in Krishna service. You know, to get on the plane and come down there, you've got to have a fan on. It's so hot. But, you know, it's not, oh, now I like it here, because it's warm and cold up there. But it's where there's service, one that's tougher than Krishna service, then the feature of duality doesn't mount for hill of beans. There's no significance to it. You may address yourself to it. You may have, like Prabhupada was asked on a number of occasions, is it okay, Srila Prabhupada, to go to an astrologer so that we can know how to prepare ourselves in devotional service? Prabhupada said, well, that was the intention. Prabhupada's answer was, if you know it's going to rain, you may carry an umbrella. That was the answer. So the devotee that asked Prabhupada the question thought he didn't understand the question. So later in the conversation he asked the same question, and he got the exact same answer. You don't value this so much. If you know it's going to rain, you may carry an umbrella. In other words, you don't base your life on what the future of duality is going to be today, or this period of my charge, or you know, how people are treating me, so now I'm enthusiastic and now I'm, you know, down in the dumps. If your shelter is Krishna, you're happy. And Krishna's happy with you. Krishna considers such a person very dear to him. And what could you want more than being dear to Krishna? There isn't something more to want. It's a position of eternal happiness. It's our take it back to Godhead, just being situated on that platform. So the beginning, we practice, tolerate. And the more advanced stage, we're becoming different. At a transcendental stage, what is really transcendental? There's only one thing that's happening, that's service to Krishna, regardless. That's easy to say. And it's another thing to attain it. And it's the thing that's worth attaining. Krishna's association, Krishna's loving shelter, is the thing that's worth striving for. take it. You got to do this way or that way. You have to do austerity. The materialists have their austerity, the devotees have their austerity. Take your pick. The austerity that leads to a dead end, or the austerity that leads to eternal life in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, loving Krishna. I know which one I want. I'm very curious. And the message of Bhagavad Gita is pointing us this way. The 12th chapter is beginning and ending on that note. The processes of devotional service are very dear to Krishna. And when we take up those processes of devotional service, they're very dear to Krishna. He accepts them. So, may you all become accepted by Krishna. And as he's inviting you to return him in the spiritual world to get on board. Any comments or questions from the verse? Or whatever you like to ask. I know that you guys always have to be pressed with your faith to see someone else. Yeah, it's called unfortunate. Or lazy. Or always disturbed. Manda sumanda mandayo manda. So, we had a nice lively discussion this morning in Purvis. We started with Vishwaroop's question and then went to Shigami to hide up the question. And we landed on the topic of accepting, this is my language, accepting Krishna consciousness in the mind, which I'll go on record as having said this, largely my experiences, that's what devotees do. They don't accept Krishna consciousness from their heart, but they accept it from their mind. Which means, today I'm feeling like this. That's the statement of the mind. Tomorrow I may be feeling like that. And I can take it up today and leave it tomorrow. Because it just doesn't suit my mind. So when the hard times of life come, when the parts of life come, when the test of our, how deep is our sincere acceptance of Krishna, that's a nice time for each one of us to find out where our, how deeply we accept Krishna consciousness. So warning is, or the advice is, practice it. Practice it from the heart, not just in a routine fashion. From the heart. Like this example, Sambhatina Thakur, of chanting, Krishna, please accept me. It's not only chanting with a feeling, it's a very specific feeling. So, hearing minus practice means one hasn't really heard. And there's a lot of that. One can say it. I've heard it. I can say it. But I don't practice it. That's acceptance within the mind. And Haridas was saying, in his way of looking at things, he said, we have two choices. You can choose shelter Krishna, or you can choose the mind. And the mind can be in the realm of devotional service or outside the realm of devotional service, but we've gone to sharing of the mind. And the platform of devotion is from the heart. We really want to be in our relationship with Krishna. And so there are things that we apply in our lives because it brings me closer to Krishna. That's why I do them. Whether I feel this or feel that. So I just, before coming down, receiving a letter from a devotee in Portland, Oregon, somebody none of you know, it's a classic question. He and his wife just began chanting 16 rounds, and while they're chanting 16 rounds, there's no quality, there's no taste. They're doing it because it's one of the things that they know they should do. So they want to know how to go beyond that. It's a classic. Another way of saying the same thing is, when will the day come where I'll actually experience feeling devotion? It's where there's practical application of this message of Bhagavad Gita. No free run.
You have to pay a
front. Well, if you pay the price, you can understand what it means. If you don't pay the price, you can't understand what it means. You want a free run. I've not heard it expressed that way. Rupa Goswami says, for everything there is some price. You go to the marketplace, you want something, you have to pay a price. And so in the spiritual realm, there's also a price to pay for achieving Christian consciousness, or bhakti, real feelings of devotion. And that price one has to pay is eagerness to have it. Complacency says, I just want to be comfortable. And if I'm comfortable, then, you know, I'm Krishna. Until I'm feeling uncomfortable, then it's, oh, Krishna! And then I'm feeling comfortable again. Be with Krishna, thanks so much. But if one who really wants a relationship with Krishna, really wants loving relationship with Krishna and all the feelings of a loving relationship with Krishna, then it's the price you have to pay. That's eagerness. And with that eagerness, you can do anything. And it's joyful. Jubilant. Kevala Ananda. And another is the price you have to pay in state. This is from a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a very beautiful song where Lord Chaitanya, I forget the Bengali word, but there's a Bengali word that's a word for franchise. So I'm sure you know what that word franchise means. But those of you not, like children. Someone may have a successful business, let's say, I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, so something that there's Walmart, it's all over the place. So they own the name, the brand, and somebody over there wants to have one of those. They can have a franchise. So Lord Chaitanya gave to Lord Nityananda a franchise, whatever the Bengali word is, he gave him a franchise, to sell some goods. And the goods were the holy name. And he told Lord Nityananda, you can have as many employees as you like, but they all must charge a fair price. And the fair price is faith. And then give it. You can give the holy name. So persons that don't have faith, they can chant the holy name. But if you want to experience Krishna and your relationship with Krishna, you have to pay the price. Okay? Then it goes beyond all these rituals and these externals and the mechanical and it enters into the realm of devotion. That's the price. No free ride. Any price. You're paid. And your eagerness to be in a relationship with Krishna. All week. Everybody's happy or intimidated or tired or what? When Krishna gives a devotional service, the last part he said was, he does what? We run away from service. I guess we didn't really need it. What we wanted was, you know, relief from distress, you know, Chatur Vidhava Janke Mam Jana Sukhita Norjina Jani Artaki Jityasura. You know, we wanted something. And we got the something. Not devotional service. We didn't want devotional service. We wanted relief from our distress or economic solution to some problem. Or our curiosity satisfied or some knowledge, and we got it. We didn't want service. So we're not chanting with the proper means. That's what Bhakti Nidhi Thakura is saying. To go more deeply, it's a, you can give three tips for going more deeply into the holy name. One of them is understand the meaning of what you're chanting. That, you know, enter into the spirit. Prabhupada's phrase is enter into the spirit of the hymn. You know that from Sri Brahma Sanyasa? Once you chant this daily and enter into the spirit of the hymn, that's just recite. Like, make a sound by Krishna. But what is the meaning? Enter into the meaning. Enter into the spirit. So, if they run the other way, they didn't enter into the spirit. Krishna gave them service and went the other way. We want, you know, it's a disease condition. We want to be joyous, not sugar. But our happiness is to be servants, not enjoyers. And that's what gave us enjoyment. And the devotee understands that. And not the devotee thinks it's crazy. Good people. What's wrong with you? You're brainwashed. Or what do you do for fun? I get asked when I travel, I get asked those questions sometimes, very bluntly from some people. Some people, you know, they appreciate it. But some people bluntly say, you know, what do you do for fun? So then they ask, what's your color and say, can you sell it to me? Well, and they don't, sometimes they don't directly say what all means, but I know what that means. And then, you know, well, what's your typical day? And then describe a typical day. And then the other thought is, what do you want to find? We have a very drab life that we have. Because, you know, they want sex education. And people that may take up chanting to begin with, they may want just peace. They like the sense of peace that, because it's true. There's a sense of contentment and peace that comes from chanting. It's powerful. But then service? I'll give an example. Some of you may have been participants or witnesses of the 24-hour kirtan thing. It's a happening thing. It's happening. A wonderful kirtan performance comes. Or I'll give it even more close to home. Mother Satya in New York, we have Rath Yatra. Whole bus load of all the youth comments, like, ooh, you know, party time. She grew up in Gurukul. She can't get them to do one darn thing. I just chant for who. So they'll go and chant for hours and hours and hours and hours to give them a There are knives to cut the vegetables.
Oh.
For 5 minutes, then I'll go back. So, they're missing the point of what dancing is. It's not to say, you know, that you're just going to fish and cut vegetables, or a million and other things that are going on in the afterthought. And she, they see her. She's running around and running around and running around. She's running down. So she's doing service. Anyway, you get it. If one isn't taking that advice or bhakti no sapra and chanting in the spirit of what chanting is. And then, you know, when volumes of service come, if people say yes to devotional service, then another problem is too much service, no time for chanting. You don't want that one either, because chanting is nurturing the creature of bhakti and reading it. Okay. No more questions. Okay. So, Steve,